We have kind of a fun tech night tonight. It's exciting that we get to hang out with you. And of course, we have to have a joke because that's always very, very essential. Of course, I get that. So your joke today, tonight, whenever you watch this, is what do you call a row of rabbits hopping backwards? A receding hairline. I know. It's bad. You're like, ugh, groaning. I can hear it already. But I'm really eager to share with you tonight, just for a couple moments, and continuing the series that I've done on conversations with God. And I like this series because I find it very enlightening on what it means to pray or have a conversation with God. And, you know, we started off looking at Adam. That's obviously kind of the first conversation, Adam in Genesis chapter 3. Then we looked at Cain. It was another conversation with God in Genesis chapter 4. And then we looked at Abram at the time, in Genesis chapter 15. And these are times when there's dialogue between God and man, between God and Adam, God and Cain, God and Abram. And tonight we're going to look for a brief few minutes at the conversation between God and Abraham in Genesis 17. So if you have your Bible, flip out your phone, flip over to Genesis 17. It's an interesting conversation. And I would say in this quote-unquote conversation, there's not a lot of Abraham giving input, but there is a whole lot of God communicating with Abraham. And this is on the heels of the conversation Abram had with God in Genesis 15. And that conversation was really when God framed the relationship between Abram and God. And he framed it in terms of covenant. And in Genesis 15, you read about this really unusual experience that Abram had with God. And it was kind of the ground zero covenant that God established with Abram. So in Genesis 17, in some respects, I would say this is a sequel of part two to Genesis 15. So in Genesis 17, God comes and speaks with Abram, and he speaks with him quite a long time, from verses 1 through 16. And it says at the very beginning that Abram at this time is 99 years old. And I like that because sometimes we think you got to be super old or super young. And sometimes age does this weird thing in our mind in terms of talking with God and God talking with us. And I appreciate that age isn't an issue for God in terms of the dialogue, conversation. And so when you look at these verses, and you might take a few moments just to check out verses 1 through 16. When you look at these verses, you will see kind of some key themes. The first theme I would say to you is the word covenant. Because in these 16 verses, the word covenant is used nine times. And I think what God is doing by making such continual repeats is I think he's referring Abram back to, hey, remember back a couple chapters ago, I did this. I made the covenant with you. And I'm telling you that this is a thing. And I think that's relevant to us today because our relationship with God is important to God. It's a thing. It's a big deal. It's significant. It's not just that we have a relationship with God, and I think a lot of times we frame it in terms of our own pursuit, our own activities, but let's appreciate that before our own efforts and activities and pursuit of God, God has relationship with you and me on his mind, on their mind, because there's three of them. And so covenant is an interesting way to think about it because covenant isn't kind of a casual, no big deal kind of suggestion idea. Covenant is a lock solid. It's more firm and concrete in some respects than even our modern day contracts. Contracts in this day and age are a little bit, not too serious sometimes. But covenant was a big deal. And so when God repeats continually this word covenant, I'm making a covenant. I have a covenant with you. It's eternal covenant. I mean, he just goes through these 16 verses and repetitively, I mean, it's like a broken record. Covenant, covenant, covenant. And that's important for us because God is connected and committed to us. But also another thing that God does in this dialogue, if you will, is he changes Abram's name. And appreciate what that means when Abram is 99 years old. Abram means the father of heights, or father, glorified father, elevated father, father of elevation. But God changes his name from Abram to Abraham. And I like the idea of this change. And the reason why I like the idea is because with the name goes our identity. And so when God changes his name, the guy's 99 years old. I think I've noticed that as I age, sometimes I get a little more inflexible. I don't like change. I kind of like my routines, and I can get a little bit stuck in the mud sometimes. But God changes Abram's name to Abraham. And it's a very significant change because now he's not the father of elevation, but now he is the father of multiplication, the father of multitudes. And, you know, when God tells him that, Abraham has one child, offspring, and that's from Ishmael in Genesis 16. It's not even Abraham and Sarah who have the child together. It's Sarah's handmaiden that has a baby with Abram. And so he talks about the name change. And I think that's really relevant for us so that we keep flexible, that when God wants to change our identity, how we see ourselves, our perspective, who I am, that we're open to God doing that. And I think that's very important. You know, if you're watching, it might be something where you just take a moment, you maybe want to pause me or something and just pray. Help me to let you, Father, change some of the erroneous perceptions I have of myself, misconceptions. I see myself as this way, but maybe that's not necessarily God's identity for you. Maybe there's some dysfunction in the way you see yourself, your perspective. Would you be willing, no matter how old you are, would you be willing to let God tinker with some of that? That's a really valid question. And Abraham said, okay, let's do that. Let's change the name thing here. You want to move from Abram, that's how I've known myself for 99 years, to Abraham, that's a shift. But you don't see Abraham really arguing or pressing back on it. He's agreeable. He goes with it. And then also in this chapter, or in these verses, God speaks frequently about Abraham being fruitful, having a lot of offspring, having a lot of a nation coming out of him. And so in order for him to be fruitful, it's good to change the mindset, change the identity. Hey, I am a father of nations. I am a father of multitudes. He's got to have that shift to see that fruitfulness become a reality. And then I want to throw this out to you as well. If you remember in Genesis 15, God made a covenant with Abram. And the covenant was very, very, it was, from my opinion, it was pretty explicit, pretty graphic, pretty intense. You know, Abram splits three animals in half, and not just kind of small little animals, big animals that bleed a lot. And then it says Abram kept the birds away. And then it said he fell into a deep sleep, and in the sleep, Abram saw a flaming torch doing a figure eight in those halves, and he saw a smoking oven doing a figure eight in those halves. So this covenant that God made, God initiated it and said, here, I want to have this covenant with you, Abram, and it's on my terms, and I commit to you. But in this chapter, and this is why I say it's a sequel, it comes after part two. In this chapter, God speaks to Abraham and says, now your part of the covenant is that you will commit to circumcising all of the males in your house. Not only your offspring, including yourself, and every male servant that you've bought or servant that's been born in your house, all the males, your side of the covenant, and this will be a sign that you're in commitment, connection, relationship with me, God, Elohim, Jehovah, if you will. And so that's an intense activity, right? I mean, seriously, especially I think when you're 99 for God to say that. But God's end game, if you think about it, God, what is God trying to do? What's his achievement here? God's achievement is that he's working on commitment, that I'm committed to you, Abraham, and I want you committed to me. God's end game too is this idea of continuity. It's not that he just starts with something and then kind of gets distracted and moves on to another project. God has a continuity throughout the human race of ongoing presence, relationship, genuine love, and connection. Continuity. And when you read these verses, you'll see again and again, it's this idea that I'm starting here, but I'm this is a continuous thing forever. You can see that theme again and again. And then I also know that God's end game in this is multiplication. And how this relates to us, in my opinion, is for you and me, that there's this idea of commitment, that I agree to commit. God has agreed to commit to me. We're mutually in agreement. We're in covenant. And that I'm a part of a broad span of history of God's plan. I'm a part of God's redemptive plan in humanity. I don't see myself as just a consumer. What can I get out of God? But I see myself not only blessed by God, but that perspective of being a bridge from one generation to the next, and that continuity. And then also multiplication. God's not about decline and less than, but God is very much about multiplying, being fruitful, father of nations. I mean, that's a big, big shift. And so God says all these things to Abraham, but here's what I want us to think about. This is a dialogue, so there's back and forth. And so here is Abraham's response. I believe it's in verse 17. Abraham, and it says this, he says to himself, really? How's this going to happen? And he has an internal conversation. And then he says, I think it's verse 18, he says to God, hey, why don't you use Ishmael? And I think this is really important for us, because when we have a conversation with God, it's not only what we say to God, but there's also something to what we say inside of ourselves. And inside of Abram's heart, in his mind, he was laughing. It says he laughed about what God told him. How can this be? That's super funny. Like, it's a joke. Better than my, like, lead-in jokes. He laughs to himself. But what he says to God, he doesn't necessarily laugh in God's face, but he laughs to himself. And to God, he's like, well, I have a suggestion. Why don't you use Ishmael, right? I mean, he's convenient. And it's interesting because there's a little bit of a progression here with what happens. Because, you know, at the very beginning in Genesis 15, Abram throws out to God, hey, why don't you use my servant Eliezer as my offspring, as the one who would inherit everything? God says, no, you're going to have a seed from your own loins. So we move from Eliezer, the servant. Then Abraham suggests Ishmael, the stepson, in essence. So from a servant to a stepson. And God says, no, it's not going to be a stepson either. I'm not going to bless and multiply and make fruitful a servant or a stepson, but I'm going to have a son come from your home, from your loins, from your communion with Sarah, and that son will be the seed of promise. I think that's super important for us to consider, because a lot of times we have good ideas. You and I, we have, you know, helpful ideas. We're going to help God. Hey, you could try this, or what did, you know, and we don't always appreciate that God's got the plan. God's got the how-to, the method. And I think what God would like from us, I think we can laugh and be honest inside of ourselves, of course, but also our agreement, our cooperation, and our acknowledgement, yep, you're in charge. And I trust you that you're good and omnipotent and all-knowing, and you're good and loving and kind. So I like that Abraham has that honesty inside of himself, but I like the dialogue that he gives back to God. And then God says to him, you're going to have an offspring from you. And so, again, it's the dialogue. And from that point on, Abraham says, okay, I'm in agreement with you. And it says, and this is really powerful, from verses 23 to 27, after that dialogue, back and forth between God and Abraham, and then God, Abraham walked out of that conversation, verses 23 to 27, and on that day, that very day, all of the males in his house were circumcised, including Abraham. I mean, that's kind of raises your eyebrows, like, woo, we're not just playing here. I mean, this is like super serious business. But again, it's like a sequel to chapter 15. God comes to us, initiates a relationship, starts the covenant, starts the commitment. And then we respond and we say, yes, and with your help, I agree with you. I may not understand it all, but I agree with you. And so I just encourage you, there's a couple things that you could do for takeaways today. Takeaways as you read this, think through it. Number one, be committed to understanding what is God's perspective. What's God doing here? What are God's values and priorities? And find out, what is that? And I want to be on your page. Let's be conscientious that we're not trying to fit God on our page and get God on our agenda, but rather, God, what do you want to achieve here? What are your top priorities? I want to understand that and be in alignment with that. Number two, be willing to let God change your identity. Oh my gosh, this is such a big deal. And I think it's a really big deal for all of us because we all have these broken thoughts about who we are. You know, well, I'm the quiet one. I'm the really loud one. I'm the nervous one. I'm the fearful one. We have these ideas about who we are, and God would like to unravel some of the deception and distortion. Say, this is who I've made you to be. Would you let God, would you give God permission to make adjustments in who you think you are, in your identity? It would be super helpful because then we can become in alignment with God's divine design for us. And then number three, I think is really helpful to recognize your own dialogue internally. What do you say in your mind and your thoughts? You know, are you like, you know, I totally don't agree with that. Man, that'll never happen. Some of those internal narratives, but also what do we say to God? And then reconcile those. Ask Holy Spirit to help you reconcile. Where's the conflict from what I say inside to what I say externally with you? God knows our thoughts, our minds, our heart. And so just kind of saying, okay, let's bring those two together and let's come and reason with God and let God kind of adjust some of those internal dialogues and conversations. And then last thing I'd say is, let's be committed to obey. Abraham went on that day and was obedient. And that wasn't like small, little, tiny obedience. That was like a really, really big deal. And I want to encourage you and me that we're obedient, whatever that looks like, and obedient in the big things as well as the little things, obedient in our conversations, obedient in our attitudes, and deferring to God's preferences, God's commands, God's instructions to us. Let's be committed to being obedient. So thank you lots and lots for watching. If you're in Denver, hopefully you're staying toasty tonight, obviously, because of the snow and everything. If you're watching this later, that's great. Fantastic that you took a couple minutes. I really appreciate it. On Sunday, if you're watching kind of right before Palm Sunday, it's Palm Sunday, so I totally want you to come Palm Sunday because I get to preach. And the message that I'll be preaching on Palm Sunday has been resonating. I've been thinking about it like for several weeks now. And I think it's going to be something that you never heard before, seriously. And I'm really eager to share it with you and excited for what God can do in your heart through this message. So make sure you come Sunday. We love your guts, and we'll catch you later. Stay toasty, stay dry, warm, and thank you so much for watching.